Aref Tov, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and shalom to all. We do have a little news for you before we delve into our continuing series about God's heavenly beings. But first and foremost, let's give God his due glory.
Hashem, you are the name. We glorify you. We worship you and we thank you for your greatest gift of all, our salvation that we cling to and hold on to forever, knowing that no one can take us out of your righteous right hand.
Praise God.
We pray for your bride who longs to see you and spend eternity with you in your kingdom. We ask that you bless tonight's program as we offer up to you these recent prayer requests to include the flood victims in the southeast and for the salvation of our loved ones. Please watch over and give divine wisdom to President Trump as we render the enemy powerless and inoperative over him and also over those listening right now. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen, and praise be to our King.
So I hear the coronavirus is still spreading.
I'll say, with a few more in the United States as well, and other parts of the world, and even Egypt, who is also experiencing swarming locusts, and also many of its neighboring countries, especially Africa. It's very serious, as these locusts are eating up everything. Just more and increasing foreshadows of Revelation.
Yeah, would you like to comment on our two-tiered justice system?
Sure, it stinks.
It does.
Look at all those on the left that seldom get prosecuted, as in Clapper, Brennan, Clinton, Comey, Strzok, Page, and now Andrew McCabe, who has actually admitted lying to Congress. But Friday they announced he would not be prosecuted. And then we look at Roger Stone, and he's about to, well, at least was about to get 7 to 9 years for doing much less than any of the others. Thanks to Attorney General Barr, he is expected to get much less now.
Hey, yeah, but I don't think he should have to do any time at all.
I agree, and we'll actually supposedly see this Thursday if it's not continued, so pray for him. And also pray for General Flynn. He's in a similar situation. It's just a real disgrace, especially when you see mountainous corruption going unchecked, particularly all those child predators involved with the Epstein case, and you just see nothing's happening.
You know, and that was a very big child trafficking ring.
Well, I'm sure it still is.
Remember who the enemy is.
Yes. The days continue to get darker, as we, of course, knew they would. I thought it was revealing that Judge Jeanine on her Saturday night program said that the top 10 most dangerous cities, well, they're actually being run by far left pro-abortion Democrats. Where are all the moderate Democrats?
What do you think? They're changing parties.
Yeah, well, I did read that many are.
Okay, update on Israel.
Yes. Well, a 6-man committee has convened to chart a more precise map of Israel's soon annexations and what actually will be given to the Palestinians. So that should be more specific, because actually Trump's plan was just a conceptual map intended to be tweaked. They will wait till after Israel's third election, however, on March 2nd, to reveal those details. And Mahmoud Abbas, you know, the leader of the PA, he was surprisingly rejected at the UN General Assembly last week, whereby the UN seems to be opposing Abbas's reluctance to Trump's peace plan.
Wow, that is a first.
It is, which brings Daniel 9:27, of course, closer into focus. The sooner prophecy is fulfilled, the sooner his kingdom on earth will materialize. Meanwhile, Israel is still having to combat rockets from Gaza. But with all that, Israel continues to take out more Iranian installations in Syria, And just 5 days ago, the Damascus airport was hit, taking out the headquarters and a warehouse of Iran's Revolutionary Guard.
Well, remember Isaiah 17.
For sure. Another prophecy to happen either just before the tribulation or at the very beginning of Damascus coming to ruins. So if these attacks continue, and let's say Damascus becomes uninhabitable, well, I think we're definitely out of here within a few months or maybe even weeks, depending on when all that occurs.
And you have one more exciting reminder for the listeners about our departure.
I do. It's been a while since we talked about us as being the last generation before his return, and as it relates to Israel and the fig tree. Remember he cursed the fig tree in Matthew 21? He did, which is a synonym. The fig tree is a synonym or a picture of Israel. But then he also said in Matthew 24 that when you see the fig tree blossom again, that this same generation will see his return. And we assume that happened in 1948 when Israel became a legal nation.
Yeah, and according to Psalms 90 and verse 10, a generation is between 70 and 80 years.
Right. So to me, that implies that Israel only has 70 to 80 years before all these things take place. The things are what Jesus had just laid out in Matthew 24. But here's the exciting part. Israel is at 72 years right now. And if you add the 7 years for the tribulation, well, to me, that means anytime we might fly away to escape the wrath coming. And that's also mentioned in Psalm 90, verses 10 and 11.
And you still have another gold nugget.
I do. By looking back at Israel's history, Israel has ruled only twice before as a united people. The first time it lasted exactly 80 years. First under King David for 40 years and then King Solomon for 40. But after that, the tribes separated. The second time they were sovereign was for 74 years after the Maccabean revolt during the Hasmonean dynasty till Rome took over. But here's another interesting point. Israel had first allied with Rome, and it looks like they're probably going to do it again.
And then Jesus was born 70 years after that.
Yes, and 70 years after that, the temple was destroyed.
So, lots of 70s.
That's right. They were in Babylon for 70 years. I mean, you can just go on and on and on. The case in point here is that we have more confirmation that Israel's generational fig tree, well, it's about over. If Bible prophecy is to be accurate.
And it always is.
Okay, so again, let's just repeat, Israel is 72 years, almost 73. The Jewish nation has never been able to maintain a united rule for more than 80 years.
Well, you know, that indeed is some heavy information.
You think?
Uh-huh.
It sure sends some exciting shivers up my spine.
For sure. Okay, if you have any questions or comments, our email is sheila@showfireministry.net. Or you can call the office and leave a detailed message, too, 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are still needed. More than ever, and greatly appreciated, which automatically adds you to our mailing list for future newsletters and updates. You can also subscribe and donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all our past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning pleasure.
Yes, they are. Okay, time for tonight's study.
First, a little review.
Of course. Basically, in Psalm 82, we confirm that God not only created heavenly beings, but that they had a free will with free thinking. And that was before man. Psalm 82 takes it further by inferring there must have been different levels of what we traditionally call angels, which had different callings or responsibilities, as in a divine council, who were also called Elohim for the little g gods. also called sons of God.
Because they were directly created by God, the big G, Elohim.
Yes, the supreme God over all the lesser gods.
By the way, these programs are up on our webpage if you missed any.
And I highly recommend you listen. We have also looked at the probability of a large space of time between the original creation of Earth in Genesis 1 verse 1 and verse 2.
That gap.
When God reformed the Earth because it became without form and void. Now, the word for became is haya, but most of your translations just use the word but it became.
Then in verse 26, God created Adam.
And by Genesis chapter 6, we read that some of the sons of God rebelled and came to earth, took on a male's body, for they had that ability, and cohabited with women to defile the human race seed in order to stop the promise that God told Eve in Genesis 3.
That he would send the Redeemer.
And in Genesis 6, verses 9 through 12, Moses writes that Noah was Tanim, meaning undefiled in his generations.
So, what we are to understand is that Noah and his seed,
his three sons,
were the only men not tainted with evil seed.
Amazingly disturbing, but nonetheless true, which is why God brought the flood. Now, unfortunately, in verse 4 of chapter 6, Moses warns that it would happen again. Obviously not on the same worldwide scale, but we do read often about the fallen ones, or the Nephilim, producing giants in many scriptural passages, certainly up to the time of David, but no direct reference to them after David and his crew when they slay the Gittites, I think.
As in Goliath and his brother.
Right. And maybe they're not here in stature anymore, although many skeletons are being dug up. But for sure, there is a wicked seed still today. And in fact, Psalm 58:3 confirms it.
They are wicked. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent.
Wow. But moving on, we are also being able to connect some dots through the writings called the Dead Sea Scrolls. And we talked about that, and especially after the Tower of Babel incident. Remember when God divided the land into regions and put his still trusting Elohim, or the higher placed angels, over each of the 70 nations with instructions to teach the people about Yahweh and point them to worshiping the one and only true God.
Meanwhile, God would start his own nation, later to be called Israel.
Yes, and in the very next chapter 11 of Genesis, well, God calls out Abram to be the father of God's first chosen ones. But again, some of these appointed Elohim rebelled and as well desired the worship of the people, which brings us to Psalm 82, where God rebukes them and judges them to mortality, to die as mere men at some point. In the meantime, they continued as gods, and the people did worship them. Each nation had its own god, and use different names for them.
Like Baal, Zeus, and Dagon.
And many others. That is partly why God rescued them from Egypt's gods and told his chosen Hebrews not to enter neighboring nations to possibly mix with wicked seed.
Well, you know, unfortunately, as always, they didn't listen.
Mm-mm. I was also reminded about Moses' explicit warning to his people in Deuteronomy 4, verses 19 through 20.
And beware, lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven.
Right, these were the divine spiritual entities, and that's confirmed in Ephesians 6.
You be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them. Things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven.
Well, since the Tower of Babel.
But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace of Egypt to be a people of his own inheritance, as you are this day.
Well, we also covered the fact that these Elohim, or sons of God, saw when he reformed the earth. Because we read in Job 38 that the sons of God, well, they shouted for joy over it. So bottom line, good angels and bad angels, well, they've been around way before us.
And the fallen one showed up in the garden.
Yes, called the serpent. But now let's look at a few more scriptures. We quickly read Psalm 89 at the close of our program last week. So let's reread verses 5 through 7 using the original Hebrew.
Let the heavens.
And of course, that's the angels, the Elohim, sons of God.
Praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of God is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and an awesome above all who are around him.
So it's pretty obvious there are a multitude of divine beings in the heavenlies with a free will, and some did rebel and went to earth to corrupt the human race. And Lucifer, or the Shining One, Isaiah 14:12, was perhaps first and brought down other Elohim with him.
Is Satan the same as Lucifer?
Well, in my thinking it is, using just a different title, and of course it means the accuser or the adversary.
As we read in Job.
Right. With that said, there are Luciferians that worship Lucifer as God and deny that Lucifer is the same being as Satan, who they will call the devil. Now, even some in the Vatican have been exposed as Luciferians and actually will use his name in certain masses, which I actually heard myself on YouTube.
And so can anybody.
Right. You can just go to YouTube and search for, Rome Invokes Lucifer on Easter of 2018. You can see it yourself. And actually, a few of them will pop up. But Luciferians believe that Christ is Lucifer's son, and that Satan is not Lucifer, but the devil, the wicked one.
So, Lucifer is the supreme God to some inside the Vatican.
Secretly. Some are followers, not all, of course, but they all know there are some who do and who they are. Also, when you hear them or the Pope talk of the devil, they do acknowledge the devil, but it's Satan, never Lucifer, for they believe they are two different separate beings.
Is that why they named their extremely powerful telescope on Mount Graham in Arizona Lucifer?
Well, you could assume that, but of course, again, anyone can do it. Their own web search for this information is not hard to find in these last days of increased knowledge, Daniel 12.
Are they searching the heavens to maybe see Lucifer?
Well, I don't know for sure, but they do admit to looking for aliens and UFOs and said they would even baptize an alien if one arrives.
Yeah, I hope that's a joke.
Yeah, me too. But the Vatican says even though they own the telescope, they deny actually naming it. And after a lot of heat, they did that. Anyway, lately the Planck Institute is taking on the blame and has actually shortened the name now to Lucy, L-U-C-I. Okay, we just took a little road trip there. So in our last minutes, let's confirm the little g gods and still other verses, as in Exodus 15:11. It says, who is like you, O Lord Yahweh, among the gods? And Deuteronomy 3:24. What God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours? 1 Kings 8:23 says, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath. Psalm 97:9, for you, O Lord Yahweh, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. And there are many other, especially when you search for them, you can find them. An interlinear reference Bible is a must for serious students, and the ESV I found is close to the original because it was translated after we found the Dead Sea Scrolls. In fact, it was 2001. So, it does save you some time. But still, because I'm a teacher, I check out many of the verses with the Masoretic text as well. And we use the interlinear by J.P. Green. I still use the book. I know it's on computer, so whatever makes you better, whatever you want to do. So in summary for tonight, we have seen there are many Elohim, but only one Yahweh, the supreme being over all. Nehemiah 9:6 refers to that as well. Only Yahweh has unique qualities and the sovereign king over all the other Elohim. By understanding this, you can go deeper and not get hung up when you see the word Elohim and it's not applying to Yahweh. You could get confused. It also helps to understand that those in the other nations were not just worshiping a mere statue, although they used them as a reminder of the false gods that they served. In other words, they were not delusional. These little g gods were real entities, and yes, they wanted to please the gods to keep them contented. You didn't want to anger the gods. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? So basically, these gods were real and not a myth. The hieroglyphics, you know, that you've seen of half man and half animal. Well, I think they did appear to the people. That's why they drew them. Fallen entities mated with animals, too. Bestiality at its finest. And possibly where the dinosaurs came from. But I digress. So the biblical Elohim is not hard to digest once we know that it isn't about attitudes, but rather a part of the spiritual world. And in that realm, there is hierarchy. Now we can understand what the Old Testament writers understood, that Yahweh is an Elohim, but no other Elohim can ever be Yahweh. So, next week we will look at a great example of how God lets the Elohim make an important decision. And it's about King Ahab. So I hope that you will, during the week, examine 1 Kings 22. And then next time, we'll look at it all together. But now, at closing, I just want to ask you, for those of you that might be listening, that maybe just came on this program nonchalantly, is Yeshua, is Jesus Lord over your life? That is the main thing. Whether you never learned another thing in the Bible, you've got to make the decision. Is Jesus Lord over your life? I know a lot of people make Jesus, they invite him into their hearts, but they never really make him Lord over their life. So if that's you, get down on your knees and change that. Repent and make him Lord. That means number one in everything you do, say, or are. So don't wait any longer. We're running out of time. Please be smart. If you're already saved, then how many have you told others about God's saving grace? All right, let's leave you with the ironic blessing number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalem. Pray for the president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Thanks
those
for
who
listening
love her
to this week's
will
broadcast
prosper.
From Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address. Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.